The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's going on, Douglas? What are you bringing us?
Oh, we've got some t-shirts to hand out today.
T-shirt time.
T-shirt time.
Did I hear you say we had 17 reviews?
Yeah, 17.
I think that's the most.
That is. That is.
17.
Wow.
Is more than 16.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
You're smart. It was 15, though, I believe.
Yeah. I do. I think that was a lot. That was 15. The most before.
Yeah. 17 is the most reviews we've ever had in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Right direction here.
Excellent job, everybody.
And we like to reward good behavior, of course. So 5 t-shirts going out.
Damn.
Yeah, so if your name is called, please contact us.
Make it rain, Doug.
I am. Please contact us with your iTunes name, your address, your shirt size to iTunes@mindpumpmedia.com. So here are the names. Page 4K, Mizzical. 101
Mizzical,
Relentless Pump.
I had one of those the other day.
And it wasn't your bicep. College Kidness and Leoti S. All of you. T-shirts.
All of you. You guys win, you all sexy people.
Yes. All of you.
Gonna be about to be sexier with those shirts on.
Get some.
By the way, you could get a shirt at mindpumpmedia.com if you want to buy one.
Yeah, yeah, for sale.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
So, Adam, you were just telling me off air, apparently a lot of people are getting a lot of our apparel.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Of course, we're transparent. We're going to tell you, you know, a whole thought process. Mm. When we made apparel, we were super reluctant. I remember Justin in particular. We were super reluctant.
Oh, I was too.
You were too, because you guys have tried selling apparel. And it's like a big
boondoggle. Yeah, we've been down that road. I mean, it's like a fun business, but you have to be like all about that as your business.
I still don't have any. Yeah. What's the reason why we've already contracted it and farmed it out?
Yeah.
There's very little money in it. It's more of a hassle than anything else. We literally do it for everybody else right now.
They're flying off the shelves.
Well, no, that's why.
That's what's awesome about it.
It is. That's what makes it great. Was we got to a point where so many people were asking about it. I was like, okay, I'm down to produce it and make it happen. It's not our business.
Right.
You know, I'm not in the business of selling t-shirts whatsoever, but we provide them.
Yeah. And, have you guys seen people in shirts randomly wearing them?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I see it more often now. It's pretty cool.
It's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're wearing my shirt.
Hey, man. High five.
So did I tell you guys what happened to my mom at the grocery store?
No.
Did I tell you about this?
Yeah, I remember.
Tell me.
So my mom, who is the best mom in the world, okay?
I don't know, dude.
She's the best mom.
I'll give you that.
She's better than your mom's.
But
she's
we're talking about my mom.
Wonderful mother, very so supportive, in fact, that she listens to our foul mouth podcast.
All right, she's got me on that one.
And trust me, is not like, we didn't talk about any of this stuff. Now we talk about buttholes and vaginas and stuff.
Woo!
My mom's listening. Hi, Mom. So she went to the grocery store randomly, bought some groceries. The guy's ringing her up, some kid. He looks at her credit card and he goes, "Are you related to Sal DiStefano?" And she's like, "Yeah, he's my son." "Oh my God, I'm doing his program and I listen to Mind Pump, this and that." She was so like tripped out over that, because she was at, of all places, at the grocery store. Yeah. You know, she was so excited.
Baby's all grown up.
Exactly. She sends me a text with all these hearts and "I love you so much." And so then I start
so
messing.
Proud of you, son. Right.
So then I start messing with my mom, because my mom. Sometimes I come across overconfident, maybe cocky. Some people might say pompous.
No, you don't.
And this is a
stop it.
This is just something I've struggled with my entire life. So whenever
I don't think it's been a struggle.
So I tease my mom.
It's pretty natural. It's pretty fucking natural.
Should I not do this?
You were wrong and I was right. So it's always been an issue with my mom. And so I jokingly will be super cocky. to get her to like pissed off, right?
Yeah.
So she'll send that to me and she'll be like, oh my God, I'm so happy. You know, someone recognized, it means it's, you know, what you're doing is working, this and that. And I'll be like, Mom, don't you know I'm famous? And she'll be like, listen, she'll be like, you need to stay humble and remember your roots. And she gives me this whole speech on text. And so then I keep responding like a dick. like a dick, you know what I mean?
Like over the top with it.
I'm like, Mom, I said, it doesn't matter. So do you know how much shit I'm going to get away with as I become famous? I'm like, don't even worry about anything. I'll be able to do whatever I want. She'll be like, Sal, don't challenge. That's not good. You challenge the universe like that. You know, God's going to punish me. I said, Mom, listen, I said, it's all about money. It doesn't, I'm just fucking with her.
It's all about money.
For like five minutes.
All that matters.
For like five minutes. And she's getting angry. Through text, I can tell because there's no more emoticons.
Yeah, it's just, everything's capitalized.
It's just writing, and don't, you know, she's
we are going to have a talk.
So then I send her a text, and I'm like, I'm just kidding, Mom. I send her like smiley faces and kisses. I'm like, I love you, of course not. And she's like, thank God. So, you know what she used to tell me since I was a kid? I think I might have said it on the podcast. Since I was a child, do you guys have, is there a saying that your parents, like something you've always gotten in trouble for, your mom and dad has always said to you? Because there's something for me. My mom has told me since I was a child. I remember this. Something she's always said to me. She's always said, Sal, your mouth is one day either going to get you in big trouble or it's going to make you a lot of money. Yeah. She's been telling me that shit forever, dude.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, I got
to. I don't want to get in trouble.
We
better make money.
It's like those teachers
go
that call you a smart ass. You're like, thanks.
I've just always had a big mouth.
Right? Yeah.
I was getting smart. I was getting in trouble the other
even
day.
If I'm an ass.
For not like celebrating our success. You know, we I don't think we've even talked about this. We recently have surpassed 2 million downloads, and another cool milestone for Mind
awesome.
Pump. And you know, it was just the other day, right? And you know, we got a lot of stuff going on right now. I feel like there's so many things on all of our plates, and you know, so my head's like spinning like a top, and that's a very cool milestone for us. But you know, I feel like. You know, if you were to, and we do have this recorded one day, maybe we'll release this of all of us talking in the room about our vision and the direction and the process of all this and where we saw it all going, you know, and Katrina and her mom were like, they were so excited and they're like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you all pumped? I'm like, well, I'm not pumped. I'm not excited. It's just, it's not as big of a deal as you guys think it is a big of a deal. I know it's a big deal. I get
it. Bro, that's the same problem I have.
And I'm like, but I expected this. You know, I expect this. And there, and to me, it's just one step along this whole process. And it's not that I don't want to be, I'm not excited. I'm not proud of all of us and where it's at. It's that this vision is so much more grand than the average person can see that when all these little cool little things start happening, everybody like.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, dude. This is this is a problem. Okay, this is going to be a problem for us in the future. I'm going to put it out here right now.
Well, this is what they were lecturing.
So
me
it's
about
on
that.
Fucking. It's on record. Okay, none of us are ever satisfied. Bottom fucking line. We could wake up tomorrow, 50 million downloads. We'll be super excited. And then anything less than 50 million downloads, we will be crapped out.
Yeah. Once we hit that, it's like,
let me be super transparent. I'm not going to share specific numbers because it's not smart to do that. And Doug will stab me in the face.
Yeah.
But I will say this.
He's got his shiv ready.
I will say this. January of this year was a milestone in terms of downloads for the month. We had hit a number. I'm not going to put the number out there, but we had hit a number. It was a big fucking deal. We were super excited. This month, we're projecting to...
Take a dump on it.
We're projecting to 8 times that.
Yeah.
So that's how fast the growth is. But what's funny is every time we hit a new milestone, anything less than that, I don't know about you guys, but I literally find myself getting depressed.
It's like,
This is a fucking problem, dude.
Yeah.
We have to, at some point, we have to find balance.
I disagree, though. See, this is the debate.
You're so bad. You make it worse.
I know. This is the debate I had with
Don't get me excited.
With the two of them is that you have to be a little fanatical. To me, if you believe in your, and you know what, take this what it's worth. I don't care right here. Okay. So if you truly in your heart believe that you were destined for something big and something great, right? And if you truly believe that.
Bro, we're so, destiny. the three of us have the craziest delusions. Like
we all have like a humongous idea of what that looks like too. And it's like completely separate. Like it's so funny.
It's just great how our egos
are insane picture of that. Like, and that's why, like, for me, it's all about like, yeah, great little wins along the way. I just look at them as little wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cute. Yeah. But we're going to get this thing that is in my head that I'm like, yeah, I'll know when that is, though. I don't feel like I'm going to be, that's what you're going to say, right?
This is exactly what I said.
I know when it is, when we're going to reach that.
I have this vision in my head, and like, it's like,
Sal, come on.
I disagree.
Yeah, no? I know. You sound like Katrina and her mom. Bro, that's what they were saying.
We're not going to be unsatisfied forever.
Yes, we will. I know us. Okay. I know us very well. We will always want to do the next thing. We will always want to put. And you know what? That's fine. I guess, is it a good thing? I don't know. Is it an exciting and fun thing? It is if you're a fanatical idiot, crazy people like we are.
Crave it.
Like, yeah. This is why I disagree. I remember when I first got into competing, and I set out this mission and why I was doing it, where I was going with it, the whole purpose of all of it. I said exactly what I was doing. And I remember Katrina, I vividly remember this conversation with her where she looked at me one time and she goes, is this going to be our life? Are we going to be this like competing? Are you going to be all in this world now? And I said, no, hon, I told you what I had to do. I have to get to the point where I work my way up this. I make a name for myself. Then
we're building a pyramid, bro.
Yeah, and
that's just one rock.
And I literally like a Band-Aid, bro, just ripped it right off when it was done. I was done.
Bro,
no,
you're missing the whole point.
No.
Yes, you are. You were satisfied and you stopped. No, you used that to catapult you to this.
Right.
You will never stop. You're the Terminator. You're never going to stop until you're dead. Until someone crushes your brain in the fucking machine.
Are you trying to ruin my relationship right now?
Bro, I got lectured.
Trying to ruin my relationship right now?
Let me tell you something right now. I got lectured for like an hour the other day because it was like, you're never satisfied with it. You need to be like, look at the present. You know, look at what's happened. You got to be satisfied and happy with the present. And because all I could focus on was next, next, next. Like, we need to, like, what's the next thing we could do? And how can we leverage this? And how we can grow that? And we have big dreams. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, things are just, I don't know. I mean, things have been going good, but I'm just like, things are just starting to get momentum, dude. Yeah. We're in momentum.
I don't care that we're never going to be happy. It's exciting to me that I get to work with crazy people.
No, it's odd. Don't get me wrong, you know? Like, there's always going to be something, but like, I will know like a pinnacle moment where I'm going to be like, hey, let's stop the podcast and hug. I will say that.
I agree.
Wait for it.
I'd like to hug you guys on air, though. But I'm just glad I'm working with
everybody. Write this down. That will be the moment. My public
Doug, you're gonna get in on this too, buddy.
Oh, he's
he'll be right in the middle. We'll hug around.
I'm just happy I get to work with crazy people because I would be so crapped out if you guys were normal. Oh, that would suck so bad.
The reason why I guess I feel like so many people get scared to be a little fanatical. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about everybody wants.
Bro, don't encourage this.
Yes, I'm going to.
Because I hate to say this, dude, not everybody could do it. People end up hurting themselves, burning out.
Hurting themselves.
They do. Let me ask you this. How many people have how many times have you tried to run with someone, either a partner and you've just burnt them the fuck out they've fallen off?
Of course.
All of them.
Of course.
All of them. Now you've met your match. You've got these guys, crazy guys with you, which means we'll all die.
Yeah. Well, but in a huge flame.
Yeah.
My theory is
that
if we live fast enough, we might get to live life twice.
Oh, I love that.
Or we'll stop time because we'll go back. Yeah, that's coming for me.
You've summoned it. It's the Qua Eagle.
It's the motherfucking Qua.
Listen to the majestic Qua.
There she is. Yeah, the little Qua.
Hey, is it?
It had eggs.
Did Doug throw a random Qua inside of her?
Yeah, did you hear the last episode?
So
I heard a random Qua.
So Doug,
the eagle got loose.
He let the eagle out of the cage.
Doug apparently accidentally injected the eagle sound into an episode that wasn't a Q&A.
Yeah.
He had to remove it and re-upload it, so it's not there anymore. So sorry if you missed it.
He did? Oh, I wish you had left it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Doug, how does that accidentally happen? Is it just automatic on every podcast? You have to remove it?
Well, actually, the Qua sound is in every file that I put up, except I mute it on most of our episodes.
Oh.
You just forgot to mute
just so I don't have to, you know, keep putting it in, right?
Damn, if someone saved that episode with the Qua, they could save that. It'd be worth money because it's so rare.
Absolutely.
Deleted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was annoyed at myself.
Doug was so pissed.
Doug was all mad. I liked it.
No,
I was like,
it was awesome.
I was like, leave it. Yeah. It'll be so random. People will be like, what the fuck? I'm so confused now.
But I'm not in Qua.
Expectations might be that there would be some Qua following, and unfortunately, it never happened.
Yeah.
That's not a bad. I was probably a right call.
It's all right. Let Doug be perfect.
This is why
you're predatory Qua.
I am so perfect.
This is why you are the producer, and I'm just a really good looking guy who talks to
them. Exactly. We know our roles here.
All right, guy over here.
Our first question is from JMac384. Is it too late to become a personal trainer at age 32? And the second part of the question is where to start?
Absolutely.
And as a 50-year-old, I think you ought to go for it. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Doug answered the question for us.
Okay, Doug, next question.
Doug, remember what we just talked about. You're the producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Letting the claw out of the bag again there.
Don't answer the question.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely too late. I would say, if you're not a trainer by the time you're 20, you're
new
fucked.
New career.
Go do something else.
Actually, you know what? You're probably better off starting at 32. I have to think, I believe, at least personally myself, being a personal trainer between 20 and 25 is quite challenging for many reasons. One being...
I was just thinking, like, because being inappropriate. Like, that was a temptation for you. Right?
No, that's not where
that's not where you're going.
That's not where I was
going. My bad.
Justin.
What?
It's still a temptation.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just.
The guy's fucking in his mid 30s. Right.
I'm just saying, like, you had less control about it.
Oh, God.
No?
I love where your brain's going, though. No, that's not why I was saying. I'm just thinking from, like, just an experience, educational level, maturity level. Between 20 and 25, regardless if all of us in this room said we were very successful, which we were as a trainer, I bet we did a lot of stupid shit. There's a lot of things that we probably misguided information. I mean, there's a lot of things that in my 30s, I think I'm a little bit more careful, what I say, how I say it. Mm-hmm. I've prioritized learning differently now. I mean, I didn't really start diving into reading until I was into my mid to late 20s. So I think there's definitely advantages to being in your 30s. Plus, people take us. When I was in my 20s, this was the most, even when I was in great shape, right? The most common thing someone in their late 40s and 50s would say to me is that, oh, that's great, but wait till you get older. Yeah. You know, it didn't matter how much knowledge I had or how much I could teach them. The fact that I hadn't been in life enough, long enough to have said that, oh, I've been out of shape or I know what it's like to have kids or family.
Well, I think you still kind of think you can work it off, you know, even though, because you can rebound so easily, you know, when you're a bit younger like that. But dude, you can start when you're, 50, 60, 70. I mean, the thing is, if you're passionate about it, like there's so much room in this industry and such a great industry to help people in any case. Like you can, I mean, there's all kinds of different niches that you can find yourself in where people will really seek you out because you have that type of wisdom. And really that's wisdom. It's like you're spending time with somebody that has a knowledge that you're trying to acquire from them. And it, whether that's a skill or whether that's like just learning about the body a little bit further, you know, people are going to be receptive to that. So
here's something that a lot of people don't realize. When people think fitness, they think it's like the industry of fitness, especially in gyms and careers, they think it's a young person's industry. They think that young people have an advantage over older people because, of course, they're young. And when you look at a young person on a magazine, they tend to look better than an older person. But you're not in the fitness industry on magazines. You're in the fitness industry in the gym instructing people. Let me tell you a secret. The fit older people in the gym get way more respect than the fit younger people.
Absolutely.
In the gym.
Yep.
And if you're a fit older person, you're 32, you're still a baby, but let's say you're 52, but you're fit and you're a personal trainer, you're going to run circles around somebody who's 20 who has the same knowledge as you because you're 52. This is a fact. You're actually better off looking older and fit than you are looking younger and fit if you want to be a successful 100%, personal trainer.
100%. My last, one of my last business partners, she hired me, she was 49. We trained for 3 or 4 years, so she was 53. I got her in the best shape of her life in her 50s. She competed, first time ever in her life, ever getting on stage or putting herself out there like that. Got in phenomenal shape. And after she had done that, I looked at her, I said, hey, you know, I know, and at that time she was into interior designing. And I said, you know, I don't know where you're at with your career or if you ever thought about this, but I feel like you have a passion for health and fitness and you just took right to it. And I said, and I think you would be a lot more successful than I think you probably already think. I said, and she was like, oh, I'm not, and her same thing. Oh, I'm not young and this and that. I said, no. I said, listen, if someone walks in this door right now and I've got, you know, at that time I've got like 10 years of experience or whatever, and she's got zero. And I said, and this person comes in, we'll say some middle-aged woman right now, 38 to 45 years old, comes walking in the door, and you and I are both personal trainers. You're brand spanking new. I'm the guy who's been around for 10 years. She'll want to listen to you first before she even wants to listen to me whatsoever. Even if I'm the guy with all the experience and knowledge, she's gonna relate to you way more before she'll ever relate to me. And that's a huge advantage for you. Now, heaven forbid you throw some knowledge and some experience behind that. Mm-hmm. Oh man, way more dangerous
Older is an attribute in the business of personal training. But if I extend that and just go into the gym and you're working out, I'm gonna tell you something. I've been in gyms half my life. Who gets all the respect in the gym? The young ripped people or the older ripped people? It's always the older people.
Absolutely.
They get lots of respect in the gym because they've been there, they've done that. It's harder at that age. And of course, when you're older, you look like you know more stuff. As far as where to start, obviously get certified. Mm-hmm. And my best advice is to start at a big corporate gym to learn how to sell training, to learn how to build a business,
right,
to learn how to, you know, train lots of people. And then from there, there's lots of opportunities in terms of either moving up the ladder at corporate fitness or starting your own personal training business.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like, I mean, this is a job like anything else. Like, you need to think about it in those terms as far as how much money you're going to make, how you're going to get there. You set goals for that financially, but you definitely want to be as educated as possible because it's a great asset to provide. You know, your closing rate will go way up.
Well, I 100% agree with going to a big corporate gym. We all stand behind that for sure. I think we've talked about this before with other people. Something to keep in mind, though, now that you're in your 30s and wiser than probably the 20-year-old version of you starting at this corporate gym, there's a very good chance you're going to work for some dumb dick that's probably 5 to 7 years younger than you. So that's something you need to mentally prepare yourself for, is you're going into this environment not to necessarily be there for the rest of your career as a personal trainer. It's there to get experience. It's there to learn systems. It's there to see how the trends of a fitness business, to see the do's, the don'ts, to get some clients under your belt. Treat it that way. Do not be discouraged, because you probably will have somebody who is in their mid to early 20s that could possibly potentially be your boss telling you what to do, who you may be a lot more intelligent than, as far, maybe not fitness wise, maybe they have more fitness knowledge than you, but they may not have the most talented manager.
Yeah, you know what you're there for. You're there to learn. So just be humble and do it.
Use it for that.
I feel like that dumb dick guy. He'd be like, yeah, I'm going to need you to, stay over the weekend, sell more subs.
Yeah.
You know, say something like that.
Yeah. The chances are they're going to run into that.
Garbage.
It's going to sound a lot
you
like
just
that.
Gave me bad, you know, flashbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
UH Denny is asking, which MAPS program is best for fat loss? And the second part is, can you convert fat into muscle?
Okay, so let's talk about which MAPS program is the best for fat loss. Now, the MAPS programs are different in their programming in terms of the type of muscle adaptation and function you're going to get. Fat loss, for the most part, is a result of diet. Mm-hmm. So MAPS Anabolic, which tends to be our foundational program, builds general strength, overall strength, overall muscle, overall function. Then you have the MAPS Green, which is MAPS Performance, which is broad spectrum performance, like an athlete, you're getting better mobility. And then MAPS Aesthetic, that's our most recent one, which is specifically designed to have you sculpt and mold your body on a visual basis to look the way you want. Besides that, the fat loss is about your diet. So if you can get ripped on any of those programs, mm-hmm. if you adjust your nutrition accordingly.
That's an important point to make too, because I think that people associate that a lot of times with like the 40 day to fat burn program, or they wrap all that in as part of their program, like they're just gonna make them do some kind of crazy intense circuit to burn fat, right? That's the answer. It just feeds right into that same old barnacle way of thinking, where like Sal said, like it really amounts to what you're putting into your body and working with your body.
Well, that I'm glad you said it like that, because there, in reality, there's no such thing as a program for fat burning. There isn't. There's not a weight training program that's designed for fat burning. And if it is, and if it says it is, it's exactly the gimmick that Justin's talking about. What they do is they take a program which was probably initially could have been a pretty good program, and then they decide they're just going to throw all kinds of extra crazy shit on top of it to where you're hardly resting. It's all this high volume, high intensity, bang, 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 nonstop. So what does that, what does that do? It just means you burn a ton of calories. So we can, so that way we can say that this is a fat burning program because
it burns a lot of calories.
You're burning way more calories than another program. But in reality, that doesn't matter.
Well, that's a fair question. That is a good question though. Which MAPS probably would burn the most calories? I would say hands down, probably performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, green MAPS probably would, because
The hypertrophy phase. Yeah.
Well, besides the hypertrophy phase, we have the durability phase.
Yeah, all of them. Really, all the phases in MAPS.
Oh, I was
MAPS.
Talking about red, but yeah.
No, I was talking about green.
Yeah. Durability for sure.
I would argue this is okay
for calorie burn, right?
For calorie burn, if you're somebody who trains like an athlete, then I think black would be. If you're somebody who trains like a bodybuilder, I think green would be. That's what I would say.
Because there's difference in the way that
you're... Actually, that's a very good point, Adam. That's a very good point.
You're
because
shocking the system.
The athlete switching to an aesthetic or even to MAPS anabolic.
Well, that's why I mentioned hypertrophy, because for me, I feel like I work the hardest during that phase in MAPS anabolic. Like, that's always like kills me because I just don't do... I don't do like high reps like that without rest.
Oh, and you're going to shit in MAPS black. Wait till you get to that.
Well, I just started that. And it already is.
But it's not just killer. That, though. If you take... the guy who trains MAPS performance all the time, has excellent mobility, excellent performance, switches to red or green, they might build more muscle. Black. They'll lose some or to black.
Yeah.
They might build more hypertrophy, right?
Yeah.
Losing some athletic performance, but building more hypertrophy. So their metabolism may speed up as a result.
Yes.
Vice versa, you take someone who's all hypertrophy all the time, whether they're in MAPS black or MAPS red, goes into performance, now they're burning a shit ton of calories.
So
your best bet, you know what? The reality is, guys, your best bet, if you want to get lean, is to cycle between all of the MAPS. Is to start with one, and we always recommend people start with MAPS anabolic, which is red, move to green, which is MAPS performance, and then move to black, which is MAPS aesthetic, and then start the cycle again. That's from a workout perspective, from an adaptation perspective, would be your best.
Well, if we were to gimmickly pitch this, if we were like trying to be all gimmicky about it and say this is the best way to burn fat, that would be
it. Burning sequence.
That would be the pitch. The pitch would be, hey, you got to go through red, you want to go through green, and then you want to go through black, because ultimately that would burn the most fat, because your body, just as it's starting to get adapted and used to the MAPS anabolic form, boom, I throw you into performance. Right after you get through all the phases of performance and you're just think your body's starting to get adapted and used to that,
and
boom, you're getting, so that would be the most ultimate way if you do that. But in reality, and what we keep continually saying,
diet is the major,
is nutrition, because if you eat like shit in any of the programs, they can become a weight gaining program, it could be whatever you want it to be. It could be actually a very popular question that we've been asked on our forum is, you know, people ask like, well, where should I,
which one I'm gonna burn the most
what phase should I, you know, be dieting in, should I cut here, and really
any of them.
It's really open, and we highly encourage people to try different things. Like maybe this time when you go through strength, maybe you should be in a calorie deficit and see what that's like. See if you see it hurts your strength a lot, or it benefits it, or, you know, pay attention to those things. But we always recommend people going on these mini bulks and mini cuts. We don't highly recommend people being on low calorie diets for long periods of time. And we don't recommend people being on high calorie diets for long periods of time. I think it's most advantageous for the body to be always manipulating and always changing that and coming in and out of that. Now, ultimately, if your goal is fat loss and you want to lose body fat, you will end up spending more time in calorie deficit than surpluses. You know, your surpluses are going to be short surpluses just to re-spike up the leptin levels and kick up that metabolism, then go back to your
it's like recalibrating the whole system.
Yes, right.
Exactly.
So that's, but you cannot take, you know, the next part of her question was asking, I believe she said, if you were in a deficit, could you convert, you know, the fat over into muscle? They're completely different cells. Fat does not turn into muscle. Muscle doesn't turn into fat. They're different cells, different systems.
Alchemy.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It's magic.
Yeah, whatsoever.
No. Your body will take fat, convert it to energy to be burned, that maybe can turn into a process to build muscle, but there's no direct conversion. That would be literally magic.
Josh Dusan is asking, what is the sign of a healthy bowel movement?
Mm.
I've been waiting for this question.
So
my shit looks weird.
You guys have how's it taste? You guys have seen, that was gross.
I was going to ask you.
You guys have seen you guys know what the Bristol scale is, right? Have I shown you guys the Bristol
You've
scale?
You've actually mentioned this before on the podcast.
Okay, so the Bristol scale, yes. B-R-I-S-T-O-L.
What does your poo look like
scale,
today?
It'll tell you, it kind of defines what your poop should look like.
So you can't just take
healthy.
A text picture of it and send it to your friends and be like, hey guys.
How's my poop look?
How's it look today?
No, they've actually got a ranking system. And so it goes from 1 to 7. So type 1 is, are you guys ready? I'm going to get into some
like
poop here.
Lots of corn.
Well, can you share the website for everybody?
Just Google Bristol scale. Okay. Bristol school
if it's
stool
purple,
scale.
Wait, you should probably go to the hospital.
Give me 1 minute. I'd like to be on the same page as we're all talking about this.
Bristol
I would
stool,
like to be looking at these.
Go Bristol stool chart.
Bristol stool chart.
Chart. Porn.
I'd like to look.
Oh, never mind.
I'd like to look.
Don't Google that.
Jesus, I'd be scared to do that.
Why is that in Germany? That's
Did you weird. Do the which one? The one, the red or white?
It doesn't matter. Just click on images.
Well, I want to be on the same. I want to be looking at
the
same shit.
The
as,
same.
I want to look at the same shit as you. Literally,
we're all
looking at the same shit.
So, type one.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wait,
type one.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I'm getting advertising Jesus sitting Christ. To me here. Now. Hold
goodness,
on. Obviously, a lot of people look at this.
Ooh, I like the dots.
Double tap to zoom.
Okay.
I'm here with you.
So we're check good. This out. So. There's 7 types.
I like type 4.
The ideal. I'm gonna go through the different types here. Yeah.
You guys will find out.
I'm probably type between type 3 and
we're
4.
We're a bunch of children. I swear to God, we can't get serious.
Okay.
So type
that,
1
that
hard
like a peanut cluster.
Hard separate hard lumps, and they're like nuts. These are very hard to pass. Mm. So this is almost like constipation.
Oh, this is like,
yeah, you don't want those.
It's like BBs.
Type 2 is a sausage shaped, but it's lumpy. So it'd be like those hard lumps, but pressed together. Ooh. So it's a little bit better, but not quite good.
Wow.
Type 3 is probably ideal, and type
like
4.
A payday bar.
Type 3 and type 4 are ideal.
Okay, that's right.
Type 3 is like a sausage, but with cracks on its surface.
Okay.
Usually about 6 inches long. I'm not making this up, by the way. Type 4. Type 4 is like a sausage or snake, smooth and soft. So now you're moving.
That's all you can take, huh?
Now you're getting a little more to diarrhea. Type 5, soft blobs with clear-cut edges.
Mm.
Passed very easily. Type 6, fluffy pieces with ragged edges. This is mushy.
That's normally when you're sick.
And then, no, type 7 is the total watery one. That's the diarrhea. Wow. So you want to be around 3 or 4, and that will tell you that your gut is probably not inflamed and probably doing okay. Doesn't mean you're totally healthy with gut issues, but it's a good sign. If you're anywhere from 5 to 7 or 1 to 2, especially at the ends, then something's wrong. If you're constantly constipated, you know, increase your vegetable intake, your water intake. Look at
Take
food intolerances.
Take a picture and send it to Sal. He'll evaluate it.
No, don't fucking.
Well, I do want to. I
so gross.
I think it's important.
I'm
to
not down with poop.
When you first, when you brought this up, you brought this up before.
Yeah.
And
you thought I made it up.
Well, no, it's not that I thought you made it up. I just had no desire to Google it afterwards because I did not want to look. I didn't look like a leash.
And now you're glad you did.
I am glad because this chart is actually very useful. Okay. Mm. And it is not disgusting. It doesn't, in fact, they actually,
but
look,
it doesn't,
they look edible.
The color,
I would probably eat some of these right here.
Right?
They look like little cinnamon rolls and little,
it does like a rotten banana.
Yeah. It doesn't look, yeah. Well, that one looks a little gross, but the rest of them,
but this hold on real quick.
The point is
an illustration that we're looking at. It's not actual pictures of poop that Adam's saying is delicious.
That's what I'm trying to say.
they're cartoon poops.
No, but you know what I mean? Doesn't have the colors because there's like some things that mean that like there's blood and there's like different things.
That's a good question. Very good.
Yeah.
So
deficiencies.
If it's tarry black, there might be blood way up high in the digestional system.
Right.
If it's a gray pale color, you might have some liver issues. If your poop is sinks and just sits on the bottom of the toilet like a brick,
like a lead,
too much
ball.
Protein. Too much protein in your diet. If you flush the toilet,
what if it sticks?
If it leaves skid marks,
like
Justin,
concrete.
Like yours do,
like concrete.
That also means there's probably too much protein in your diet, and you might
Son
need to reduce.
Bitch.
Might need to reduce your protein.
Hey, you know, Jim was wrong.
But also, by the way,
was going by his code.
By the way, poop will smell, but it shouldn't be freaking disgusting, Justin. Oh. If there's a horrible smell to it, then that means
throw me under the bus.
Something's wrong. I'm just calling your name. I'm not saying you're
I'm
the one that
saying
does that.
In the air. Not saying
if
you
it's,
stink and you're horrible.
If it's
person.
Putrid, then that means there's also some issues with your gut.
It's fine. It's roses, everybody. He's
Bristol stool chart. Very useful. I think it's very good.
By the way, I had this chart. I'm not lying to you.
Is
I
that
had
like
this.
The Bristol? Because they have cheese too. the Bristol Farms?
No, that's gross. Like, yeah. I had this chart on the back of the bathroom door in the gym that I owned. Swear to God.
You did?
I did. I had it right there so people could see.
God, this guy loves gut
you
health.
Would. So, yeah, yeah. No, people be looking at the chart where they look between their legs and stuff like that. Oh.
Yeah, because it makes you aware, dude. Most people have no idea. They have shitty shit and they don't even know it.
Shitty shit. So if your shit's shitty, go ahead and check out Bristol chart.
Bristol Stool's chart.
Do you have an STD chart there too?
I don't know.
Watkins R23 is asking how to get someone with self-esteem issues past the problem and stop comparing themselves to others.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That's a very, very, very complex situation. By the way, in no way are we psychologists or psychiatrists or experts on the subject, but we're going to pretend like we are.
Because we deal with everything else.
That's
why
what
not?
We do.
Yeah, why not?
Here's the thing. In fitness, I deal with this all the time. This is the number one thing that you're going to deal with your clients is self-worth, self-esteem. Here's the thing. Your self-esteem and your self-worth must be separate from your body image, okay? Self-image is not body image. I want to be very clear with that. Separate the two. Because if your body image is your self-image, you will never, ever get out of this this conundrum. You will never solve your self-esteem. No matter how fit you are. And I'm telling you something right now, being in the fitness industry, some of the worst self-image issues that I've ever seen in my entire life are some of the fittest, most ripped people you've ever seen.
Absolutely. That's what I would venture to say, a number up in the probably 75%, maybe higher, are, because that's what normally makes somebody so neurotic about fitness to where they can get into that shape.
It's true.
That's most of these people have this huge, and we've talked about it. We've all talked about our insecurities and the things that, you know, motivated us to become, you know, fitness trainers, and most of us were. And it probably took years into our careers and professionalism before we finally kind of put that together and figured it out, like, wow, I have an issue here. I need to learn to be okay. I mean, I don't remember how long I was for. I think I just started wearing shorts like 5-6 years ago.
Really?
Oh yeah. I had such an issue with my calves for so long that I would wear, it'd be summertime, bro. I'd be walking around with sweats and shit. Like, I mean, there's things like that,
can't,
you know,
take another joke from Sal.
Yeah, no, right. But we laugh about it, but some people have some, I mean, you know, it isn't a laughing matter. It's a very serious issue. It's something very common. And you know, there's a lot of
making me feel bad.
I know, Dick, right?
Yeah.
There's a couple things too that I really try and get someone like that to also stop focusing on everybody else, because we all have very, very different body types. I will never, ever, no matter how I train my body, it'll never look like Justin's. We have totally different body types. It'll never look like a Craig Caperso's. We have totally different body types. You might have some things in common with certain people, but for the most part, we're all very, very unique and different. And the best you will never look like the best somebody else. So comparing, and to be honest with you, most people that do compare themselves to other people, their perception is so fucking off that they're comparing themselves to someone who's nothing like them. It's like, you will never look like that, you know? So why even try and consider looking like that? Why don't we focus on where you are and improving your health, your fitness, your overall physique, you know, on a regular, and celebrating that as we pursue whatever your goals are, right?
Well, it's very important to separate body image from your self image, because number one, you'll never get out of that rut. You'll never be able
explain
to
explain that, please. You keep saying that because you.
Well, okay, so here's the deal.
The difference
I can have a good
self image.
I can have a really good self image. I could understand my worth in the world, understand my worth to the people around me. I could feel confident with who I am, but I can also look in the mirror and say, okay, I need to lose a little weight or need to get more fit. That means that my self-image is strong. My body image is just objective. I can see what I want to work on. And that's the thing, because when you start focusing on changing the way you look, it's very easy to make that your self-image, to then identify with that and make that who you are and what your worth is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, if you do that, you're going to have trouble your whole life. We all get old. I don't care how fucking awesome you think you look. Eventually, you're going to get older, right, and your self-image is going to decline along with that if you're not able to separate the two. For me personally, having children was one of the things that really made a huge dent in this problem for me, because I had a horrible self-image for a long time, or low self-esteem issues, because my body image wasn't good. Well, having kids, I mean, my son, my boy, he's got the identical body type to me, which means he's going to be skinny growing up, just the way it is. He can work on it like I did. If he doesn't, that's fine. But I love him unconditionally. And there was a point where I recognized, like, holy crap, how come I can love him unconditionally and I can't do that for myself? You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like I looked at my kid and said, oh, he's not muscular. He's not cool anymore. I never would think that, right? So why couldn't I do that for myself? And here's the secret about this. If you can solve this problem for yourself by really accepting and loving yourself and having a good self-image, the body image part, the getting fit part becomes easy.
Way easier.
It actually becomes, that it happens as a side effect.
You look at it differently. That's why.
Totally.
And you've mentioned this before, and I like when we talk about this of, you know, really focusing on health, and then the other stuff comes, mm-hmm. you know, getting healthy, you know, having, and healthy too is mentally healthy. So people don't think about that either. That is a part of being healthy is having your mind right too.
Well, I think too, like to get focused on something else, like I personally, like if it's something that if I have an insecurity or something, or you know, whatever it is, I want to have like some kind of a solution where I'm pouring myself into it to better myself on a daily basis. So it doesn't really matter. Like if I'm pouring myself into things that are driving me and I feel like, you know, I'm accomplishing things, like the other stuff becomes irrelevant. It's like background noise, you know, things that were in the forefront that like, I was worried about other people and, you know, what they thought about, you know, what I was doing or what my body looks like or whatever it was. Like I like to pour myself, you know, into other things that drive me personally. And I find out what those are and I want to focus on that. And then everything else, like it sort of takes care of itself. So that part of that could be physical. So for me, just to train and just enjoy the training process and enjoy eating better food and, you know, having a different outlook towards that, like it's going to do a lot for you just to focus on positive things.
Well, just imagine how liberating that must be to walk around and literally, and this is impossible, all of us care what other people think. I don't care what you say. But imagine how liberating it would be to actually really be there, to really walk around and be like, I give zero shits.
Yeah, it's like back to our old hashtag.
That is such a
zero fucks.
That is a very that should be a very liberating freeing feeling. Now, it's impossible to get, I don't know if you can get there, but you could get a lot further than you are now, you know, by going to the gym, not caring, you know, how silly it looks for me to do these corrective exercises. Or, you know, I'll tell you something right now. My workouts are 10 million times better now. One of the reasons is because I stopped giving a shit about how much weight I lift in the gym. There was a point where I wouldn't go light on movements because I don't want to lift lightweight. I got to always be lifting heavy ass weight. And so my performance suffered. My body suffered. As a result, I had injuries as a result. Whereas now I go in there and I don't care. And let me tell you something right now. You know, hosting the show like we are, Mind Pump, I get recognized in the gym. I still don't care. I don't care if I do an exercise and I'm using 15 pounds and people are like,
of course.
What? I thought that was Sal. Why is he only lifting? I could care less.
I flip it on its head. I love to go and do. I love to do the stuff that's like that people are looking like this buff guy and he's doing weird flexibility stuff like that. What? He's benching with 45s. That's it on there? Like, that's so weak.
It's like eating a salad and a bunch of protein shake meatheads.
Yeah, right. To all the competitors. Eat a salad? You know, Justin, you talked about having the positive mental attitude. You know, it reminds me of the quote, you know, whether you think you will or you won't, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important too when you have someone like this, is that, you know, those people that compare themselves to others, they have the self-esteem issues, they're constantly beating themselves up and beating themselves up. And you know what? You're right. You're not gonna have her body.
Man.
You're not gonna look like that. You're not gonna have this sexy look because you keep telling yourself you're not. Mm-hmm. Like, stop thinking that way. Celebrate where you are now. Be happy with who you are right now. Focus on the things that are going well. And then, like Sal said, separate the self-image from yourself, from your body image, and learn to focus on each one individually.
Mm-hmm. You know what? As a trainer, I practice this quite a bit with my clients. So one, you'll hear a lot of trainers when a client comes in, they'll be like, oh, you look like you lost weight, or oh, you look like you built muscle. And I'll say that sometimes too. But usually what I'll say to my clients is, you look really healthy today. And I, you know, the color in your face looks really good. You have a nice aura today. Your energy looks really good. You look like you're rested. And I say that because I want them to associate those healthy signs with their workouts, with their diet, versus, because as a trainer, you got to be very real here. As a trainer, you can either fuel a self-esteem issue or you can help solve a self-esteem issue. And I've had a lot of clients come to me who've worked with trainers that have just made their self-esteem feel like shit. I've had female clients come to me, be like, oh, my trainer used to hammer me, tell me I look fat, tell me I did this. And so I'd starve myself, right? And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It's very common. It's actually quite common. So please leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. And don't forget to go to mindpumpmedia.com. Our new MAPS aesthetic program is out now. And you can also check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.